Visit Plain Ridge Park Casino this spring for all the playoff hoops and hockey action and the return of baseball. They've got the biggest screens, the best food and drink, plus they're giving away Penn Cash bonuses and prizes to Penn Play Rewards members. Not a member? Join today by downloading and registering for the Penn Play app from the App Store. Unlock all the fun, including a chance to win up to $2,000 in Penn Cash. All this and more. Make Plain Ridge Park Casino your spring sports viewing headquarters. Must be 21 plus. Play it smart from the start. Live chat at GameSenseMA.com. Hope is here. 800-327-5050 or GamblingHelplineMA.org.
Gasper and Murray have scorching hot takes. Twisting your mind with Pat Celtics and Bates. They'll also talk socks and out-of-town things. Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Just call them up on this Saturday. Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
Gasper!
Hey, Murray.
From the Town Fair Tire Studio, it is Gasper and Murray here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. And 98.5 The Sports Hub, the app, which is free to download on your iPhone and Android device. And from what I understand, thanks to our usual producer, Tracy Clements, who's back with us today, as of today, this show, now available as a podcast on that app and on 98.5thesportshub.com. Thank you very much for talking to the powers that be, Tracy.
It's going to be under the Felger and Maz tab for now.
Even better. We'll get more of a bump because more of the people will be going to the Felger and Maz little tag on the 98.5 The Sports Hub app and 98.5thesportshub.com, Chris. So we'll get more of a bump. The people demanded it, and the people shall have it. Or actually, so I'll do it. Let me play to my audience here.
The people demanded it, and the people shall have it. Gasper and Murray available as a podcast 24/7. Take us wherever you go, from Gotham to your local Subway, where you should try the new Chipotle Southwest Steak and Cheese. Saddle up with this delicious tomato basil wrap jam-packed with a double portion of steak and topped with your favorite Tex-Mex flavors, Chris, like Monterey cheddar, guacamole, jalapenos, lettuce, tomatoes, red onions, green peppers, and Chipotle Southwest sauce. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Jim.
How are you, pal?
Good. Good. We finally made it. We've made it.
Yeah.
We're going to be on the app. This is legit. I can't believe it. I'm going to put this on my LinkedIn profile.
Right. Yeah, finally. We've reached the future here. Hopefully the rest of the weekend shows can get on there, too. I imagine we have that kind of bandwidth. Thanks to the Beasley Media Group that now owns us.
Fantastic.
If you can't already tell, it's going to be another loose show over the next few hours. If you'd like to join us at any point, 617-779-0985 is the phone number. I would like to start, though, Chris, with some NBA offseason and free agency stuff, as this continues to be the most juicy topic, I think, especially locally with Celtics and whether or not they still might be interested in making a deal for Kawhi Leonard. How much we got to worry about Kyrie Irving wanting to be a member of the New York Knicks next summer, because that is starting to gain some steam. And the whining courtesy of Marcus Smart, who reportedly, and I quote, is disgusted, that from the Boston Herald article from, who was it again?
Mark Murphy.
Mark Murphy.
Mark Murphy, the Herald.
He's disgusted that Danny Ainge and the Celtics haven't talked to him about a contract extension thus far, something I know you feel pretty strongly about.
Yeah, I mean, I think when you look at it with Marcus Smart, you just sort of have to know your role and know who you are. I mean, he's probably the sixth or seventh best player on the team, and that means you're not going to be a priority for the team when you're a restricted free agent, and the market has spoken. You see other restricted free agents. Joe Murray and I were talking about this before we started the show. You got a guy like Zach LaVine who gets, you know, an $18 million per year restricted free agent offer sheet from the Sacramento Kings. And, you know, Marcus Smart's not getting that because offensively he's not a consistent, reliable, productive player. And I think there are teams across the league, and we talked about this on Felger and Maz yesterday, they look at what Brad Stevens has done, right? And you look at what Isaiah Thomas did offensively when he was a Celtic. Jay Crowder, Avery Bradley, Kelly Olynyk, even like a Jonas Jerebko, or going way back, Jordan Crawford. He gets the most out of guys offensively, and yet when you look at Smart, this is a guy who shoots 36% from the field for his career, and below 30%, 29.3 to be exact, from three-point range in his career. So any team taking him on has to say, well, what's the upside? What's the offensive upside? If Stevens can't get it out of him, can we get it out of him? And then the stuff he does really well that I love and I enjoy, you know, there's a smaller market for that because you have to already have a team that has its built-in core of guys that can compete for a championship, and they just need intangibles, and they need the heart, and the hustle, and the diving, and the annoying, and the defense. All that stuff is great, and it does matter, but it doesn't. It's not the first thing you look for when you're trying to take a team from the lottery to playoff contention, or from playoff contention to championship contention. I just think his skills are great, but the market has spoken, and they're not valued the way that he and his agent seems to value his skills.
He's overplayed his hand, and the agent has overplayed his hand.
Totally.
And I think he lacks self-awareness. Look, I love him for all the things that you just mentioned, and I've said it before on this show, and when we've done the Sports Hub Celtics show, his best attribute is his ability to frustrate and annoy. But the offense, I don't think it's ever going to come with that player. And no coach in the league has turned mediocre guards into offensive weapons better than Brad Stevens.
Yes.
Case in point, Evan Turner. He helped him get $17 million with the Portland Trailblazers. It's not going to come with Marcus Smart. So take a look around. Okay, dip your toe into the waters of free agency. Talk to some other teams. If you think you're going to get $16-17 million, you couldn't be more wrong. And this is something, and maybe it's the effect of, and this is something you mentioned yesterday when we were in on Felger and Maz, was maybe this is the effect of he's really one of the last Bridgies, that Bridgie Celtics team, guys that overvalued their worth, guys like Jay Crowder, guys like Isaiah Thomas. Like maybe he's been affected by that. And look, he is a perfect fit here. I think he realizes what he is in terms of a fit here. But in terms of the financial aspect of it, and look, and I'm all for, I've said it time and time again, especially on this show, no matter what sport we're talking about, I'm all about the players getting as much money as they possibly can when they're playing. Get that money. But Marcus, don't overplay your hand because it feels like you already have.
Yeah, I mean, he does feel like he's overplayed his hand. And you go back to what Jackie McMullen of ESPN has said, that she talked to him, you know, after game 7 of the Eastern Conference Finals, and was like, hey, you know, you think you're going to be back? And it was a little back and forth, and and she said, well, you know, they're not going to offer you, you know, $12 or $14 million. And he says, well, I'm worth more than that. I mean, that's where he's coming from. He's saying he's worth more than $14 million. So now you're talking $15-16 million. There's no way. And you look at the guys that have gotten some deals. So you look at somebody like Tyreek Evans, got a 1-year $12 million deal from the Pacers. Tyreek Evans is a proven offensive player in this league. Dante Exum, who went one pick before Marcus Smart in that draft class, hasn't really played, missed a full season, you know, with an injury, and then last year I think he played 14 regular season games. He got 3 years and $33 million. That's $11 million per year. That's more than I would pay Dante Exum, but it's based on the fact that people see some offensive upside there, which you don't have with Smart. So, I mean, even if you're on Smart's side, don't you look at those two deals and say, okay, well, this guy's somewhere between Exum and Evans, so that's like 11.5, and that goes back to the offer that the Celtics made to Marcus Smart before, you know, which was in that $11 million range, and that he turned down.
Well, we have an update on this story, courtesy of your colleague at the Boston Globe,
yes,
Adam Himmelsbach, who posted this morning. Marcus Smart frustrated by Wade, but Celtics have no plans to part with him. So he posted this just a short time ago. And so this, I like this because it does lend to what I thought was the truth from Mark Murphy in his column of the Boston Herald, saying that Marcus Smart and his team were disgusted that they haven't had any interaction yet.
It was
with
hurt and disgusted.
And then the Athletic had a counter report to that saying, like, no, nothing going on here. They're going to work it out. Well, this from Adam Himmelsbach in the Boston Globe. A source close to Smart said yesterday that the guard is hurt by the Celtics' lack of communication during free agency and that he is, quote, over it and prepared to ultimately sign a 1-year qualifying offer and become an unrestricted free agent next season if it comes to it. But league sources said the Celtics' perceived lack of interest in contacting Smart was not indicative of any change in their view of the talented young guard. The Celtics and Smart's camp remained apart on contract discussions, so the Celtics were essentially waiting for Smart to have talks with other teams and potentially sign an offer sheet that they would then almost certainly match. No surprise there, right? If this is a standoff, league sources said, the Celtics certainly do not view it that way. The sources said that Smart remains an integral part of the Celtics' future, good to hear, and that the feeling has never shifted despite the lack of an agreement to the point. To this point, one league source said there is significant interest in Smart around the NBA at a price tag closer to $9 million annually, in line with the mid-level exception, but Smart has no plans at this point to entertain such offers. Again, so, dude, like, realize what your worth is. Like, $9 million for him, I think that's a fair...
Yeah.
That's a fair deal per year for Marcus Smart.
Yeah, and I think that's where the Celtics sort of slotted him. They want him somewhere between 8 and 10. And, you know, I thought before, you know, some of the stuff that's come out, like from Jackie McMullen, that, you know, he maybe wanted to be at about 12. But if he wants to be north of 14, like, forget about it. There's just no way. That's not, you don't have that kind of value. And I've said this before about Marcus Smart, because it sounds like I'm dumping him. I like him, and I want him on the team. I think he's a great fit for what's going on here. But what's going on here is that there's five guys ahead of him. I mean, if you count Rozier, six guys ahead of him when it comes to the hierarchy of scorers and who would get the ball and who you would rely on for points. And so you don't necessarily need points from him. In fact, sometimes it's a detriment when he shoots, like that Lakers game this year. So that's a different scenario. There are not a lot of teams like that. And so teams that are trying to get better in free agency, you know, they're looking for guys that can score consistently and that they can count on for points. And that's not him. What was all the talk last offseason, right, going into this season about all the improvement he had made offensively and he was going to be a different guy shooting the basketball and all this stuff? You look at his numbers from this year, they're almost exactly the same
it was another
to the year before.
It was another year of yelling, either live at the Garden or at your television when they were on the road, no Marcus, no. That's what it's going to be with this guy. The offense is never going to change with his game.
I mean, that's what it feels like. And even if it does change, what is it going to be? I think we have a large enough sample size at this point that you sort of know, you know, what the deal is with this guy offensively. So he definitely has a place in the league. I think he definitely has a place in the Celtics. But, you know, to the point that you and I were talking about, this does reek of that sort of IT, Jay Crowder, inflated sense of self-worth that we saw before. You know, Jay Crowder basically saying, well, you don't need Gordon Hayward, you know, because I'm here.
Right.
You know, that type of thing. And it sort of seems to be the same thing a little bit with Smart. He's not specifically referencing another player, but it's like, don't you understand how good I am and what I mean to the team? And, yeah, I just think you have to accept you have to know who you are. And I'm not sure that when it comes to compensation, he fully comprehends that in the NBA right now.
And so your colleague Adam Himmelsbach goes on to write here in today's column, multiple sources said it appears increasingly likely that unless Smart significantly lowers his asking price, and he should, that's me ad-libbing, which no one expects the guard to do, he will ultimately accept the one-year, $6 million qualifying offer he received from the Celtics and then become an unrestricted free agent after next year. If he accepts the qualifying offer, he will have a no-trade clause in his contract this season. So it feels like this is where this is headed. You know, $6 million, but do you have to worry about his attitude in that, you know, he feels like he's being underpaid this 1 year? You know, like, does he maybe become a problem if that's what ends up happening here?
I mean, he's such a competitor. I mean, I don't think you would have an issue from an effort standpoint. He's always going to give you the effort. You know, could he be somebody who's in the locker room and is sort of, you know, disgruntled? I think they dealt with that a little bit last year with, you know, Marcus Morris, you know, trying to find a role for him that he was comfortable with. That he was comfortable in and that he was used to, a guy who was used to starting all the time, having to come off the bench. So Brad Stevens has navigated that before. I wouldn't let that stop me. I don't think he would be, you know, that disruptive if you had him on the 1 year deal. And the reality is he almost can't be that disruptive, right? Because if he's on a 1 year deal, he has to be on his best behavior on and off the court if he wants to cash in.
Well, a former NBA head coach and player had some strong words for Marcus Smart and whether or not he might be overvaluing himself this offseason. We'll get to that sound. And you, if you want to weigh in on this and some NBA offseason and free agency stuff, at 617-779-0985. We're off and running here. See, trying to get going here. So I had maybe a little bit too much caffeine, a little too much jitter here to start the show today. It's Gasper and Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. Gasper and Murray. On 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray.
You will listen.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Free agent Marcus Smart, quote, disgusted, according to the Boston Herald, that the Celtics have yet to contact him.
You know, Marcus, relax. Understand that this is a business. This is the business part of basketball. They don't need to talk to you right now. That doesn't mean that they don't want you. That doesn't mean that they don't like you. That doesn't mean that they don't have you in their plans. This is business. So what you need to do is just sit back at home, relax, and wait. And your value to this team doesn't drop. Just wait. Just wait. That's what's problem with half these guys anyway. They get so damn irritated when they, you know, again, we cuddle them so much. They're so many babies in our league. And this is what we have. Oh, they're not calling.
That is Byron Scott, former NBA pro and head coach, sounding like your uncle at the barbecue with some strong advice for Marcus Smart. A bunch of babies out there. And he's right, too. That was from ESPN's The Jump prior to last night's Summer League game between the Celtics and the 76ers. You want to weigh in on the Marcus Smart situation and how his camp is hurt and disgusted At the very least, even if you don't believe that, this has been backed up this morning by Chris's colleague here. It's Gaspar Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub, at the Boston Globe, Adam Himmelsbach, who writes on this and said, yeah, there's some frustration there on behalf of Marcus Smart. Why haven't the Celtics talked to me? I'm worth more, damn it. No, you're not. $9 million at best. That's what you should get per year. But your thoughts on that at 617-779-0985. Quickly, on last night's Summer League game, Chris, I don't know if you watched it. I don't know how many people did. But
I didn't. I saw the highlights.
Well, the only thing worth talking about is that Robert Williams, the 27th pick overall, the Celtics' number one pick this year, he banged his knee, only played limited minutes. I think he scored
6 minutes,
points.
Right?
Yeah, 6 minutes, scored 4 points. Yay. But now this is 3 days on the job for Robert Williams, and it's another F. Like, day one, an hour late for the cattle call on the phone with all the Celtics and NBA media.
And then he called from a submarine, apparently,
yeah,
for that conference call.
Didn't really know what was going on. Might have been hungover from the night before when he got drafted. Hey, celebrating at Buffalo Wild Wings. Kind of get it. And look, in terms of the time change, him being in Louisiana an hour back, it's happened to me. I can kind of understand it. I gave him a pass day one. Day two, misses the flight. He's late for you know, the first practices that they're going to be running here for Summer League.
And just to interrupt on that for a second, he had come up, I don't know what the day setup was. It was, he had come up here for his introductory press conference. So he was here, they let him go back, and then he was late coming back for the practice.
Yeah, not a
so
good
it's like
look.
He, you know, I don't know why he needed to go back. You never know anybody's family situation or health situation. Maybe there was a legitimate reason, but it's a little weird. They let him go back, and then he doesn't make it back to Boston.
Well, again, he did drop in the draft in most, you know, most reputable NBA mock drafts, and I know that's an oxymoron in and of itself, but yep, had him in the top 20, but he drops because of questionable work ethic, mm-hmm, laziness, you know, maybe likes the weed too much.
Jay King had that report in, yep, the Athletic at Boston that he was connected, that the suspension at A&M was for marijuana.
So also has a knee injury, by the way.
And a knee injury as well. So, all right, so two bad looks in the first 2 days, and then last night, first play in the Summer League, bangs that knee. Three days on the job, three bad looks. I don't know, and I have been, outside of radio, well, kind of, I've been a horrible employee. I've had, I think, over 30 jobs since I was first able to work since at age 16. I don't know if I've ever done anything that bad with my first 3 days on the job, even if I hated the job. I've walked off on a job day one, service merchandise. Do you remember service merchandise?
I do remember service merchandise, yeah.
Service merchandise in Saugus. I took the holiday job there and saying, okay, you're going to be one of the guys that helps unload the trucks, you know, because,
yeah,
it's the holiday season.
Yes.
You got to get all this new stuff that we have to put out on the shelves. You and like three other guys, you're going to be emptying out 18-wheelers. So I show up day one of the job. They hand me a weight belt, and on that 18-wheeler was everything from a Walkman, Chris, to a washing machine. And after about an hour, I was like, I'm good. I don't need the money that bad. And I told them I was going on my break. And they're like, you'll be back, right? I was like, yeah, I'll be back. And that was it. They never saw me again. But other than that, I don't know if I've ever really pulled a Robert Williams. Do they have to worry about this kid? Does it feel like it? Doesn't it at least kind of feel like, I get it, low risk, high reward. He dropped. But, man, this has not been 3 good days. The first 3 days on the job for Robert Williams.
No, it's definitely not an auspicious start to his NBA career at this point. You're definitely concerned. But I think they knew that this was a kid that had some maturity issues, Jim, and that would have to be managed and probably, you know, coddled a little bit until he matures. And the funny thing is that he says all the right things. And I'm a big believer in sports that actions speak louder than words. So at least he gets the PR end of this, that he has to say the right things, and, like, you know, the self-flagellation about, you know, I have to be better and be more responsible and apologizing to the whole organization. But I need to see the action behind it, you know. Now, look, the kid got hurt. That's not necessarily his fault. It happens. But it doesn't make you feel good about this pick.
No.
That he's on the court. First of all, it's great. Like, they actually got him on the court. He made it to Vegas. He's there in one piece. They know where he is. They know his whereabouts. He's in uniform. He's out there. That's a win. Then he gets out there, actually looked decent. I saw the highlights, you know, had a dunk and hit a 15-footer, but then bangs knees, and it's like he's done for the game, and he might not play tonight. He's up in the air for tonight against Denver in the second Summer League game. I would not say that reliability and durability right now would be on the Robert Williams scouting report.
Hell of a first pick thus far for Danny Ainge this year at number 27 overall with Robert Williams. Danny and Stowe, you're first up here on Gaspar and this Gaspar and Murray this morning on Marcus Smart. Go ahead, Danny.
How you doing, guys? It's easy. The question's easy. You have to ask yourself, with Kyrie with his knee, you know, he's going to be playing limited minutes, and you don't really know how well he's going to do, who would you rather be running the team, Rozier or Smart? I mean, the question's easy. It's Rozier. So why not offer Rozier a three-year contract at around $12 million for 3 years? You have a great insurance policy, and he's in the top six.
Yeah, I would think they're not going to do that because they don't have to. And right now he's still on his rookie deal, so you have some flexibility when it comes to the cap with his production at that price. So, I mean, look, maybe they would be interested in signing Rozier to that if they feel like it's something that's going to benefit them in the long term because it's a deal for the team and less than it would cost to re-sign him. But I think they like having the flexibility. But, yeah, if you're talking about who would I rather have, if Kyrie Irving's not playing – I don't mean like not in the game, but not available at all, then it's Rozier because he gives you the offense. But if Kyrie is there, then Smart's the better fit because he doesn't need shots to make an impact. And I think that's sort of what the Celtics are weighing. I also want to just say this quickly on Smart. I mean, obviously, you know, we disagree with his stance on the contract, but in the grand scheme of life, contract quibbles are really insignificant. You know, he's dealing sort of with a serious situation.
Absolutely.
With his mother who's battling cancer. And I think, you know, it's entirely possible that the way he feels about the Celtics at this point could be somehow colored by what he's going through emotionally with trying to support his mom through that. So, you know, you have to sort of give him that out there, you know, give him that benefit of the doubt there.
I do. And I lived through that around the same age, same situation, which was horrible. And when I think about it, it's funny you mention this because I was listening to Johnston and Flynn driving in today, and you know, it's, I think a lot of people forget about that.
Yes.
And you know, you do have to factor in the human side of these contract squabbles sometime in sports, and that, you know, a 24-year-old kid dealing with his mom who sounds like it's terminal cancer, it's probably going to go the wrong way, unfortunately. Like, you're a crazy person, you're not thinking straight. So maybe he's, I don't know, projecting a bit, and you know, with some internal feelings and feeling hopeless and angry, and that's just coming out in terms of what's going on with the Celtics here, and he doesn't really mean it, you know. So you do have to take the story with a bit of a grain of salt. Like, on the one end, I do have to be kind of a critical ass when it comes to Marcus Smart, and I do think that he's maybe overplayed his hand and overvalued his worth. But on the other, like him being, you know, again, disgusted and hurt.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's a lot going on in that kid's life right now.
Yeah, I agree, and I think, you know, look, the feelings he has are real, but the words that are being used, I'm over it, hurt, you know, disgusted, and I'm not saying that these are his words because these have all been anonymous sources, but they're coming from someone in his camp. You know, that using language that strong, I think he's probably ticked off that the Celtics haven't made more of an effort to sign him, and he's ticked off that the market's not responding to his talent. But the type of language that's being used, I think, is related to
definitely
his heightened emotional state dealing with that illness his mother has.
Peter in Jamaica Plain, you're next here on Gasper and Murray this morning. Hey, Peter.
Guys, how you doing? I think you're totally underrating the value of Marcus Smart to the Celtics. I just can make a few. Brad Stevens calls him his fifth starter. Al Horford said he's the heart and soul of the team, and I think a lot of players feel like that. And if you look at the fourth quarter, there's two people that are always on the floor, Al Horford and a Marcus Smart. He plays the entire fourth quarter, and he plays in crunch time. Brad Stevens loves him. He gives up his body. I mean, $9 million is an insult.
So, Peter, in your opinion, what should he get per?
I think he should get $15 million, but he's not going to get that. But let's say, he's better than Avery Bradley, a good $12.5 million. He's much better. So, if you make an offer, you know,
much better defensively? Okay, 3 years, one. But you say better than Avery Bradley, much better. How? Much better overall as a player, much better defensively?
You go on the internet, okay? They're better offensively and defensively statistically when he's on the floor.
But he's always on the floor with the starters, though. I mean, I'm not taking away from, I love him too. I'm just playing devil's advocate here. They are better on the floor when he's on there.
He'll sit Jason Tatum, he'll sit Jaylen Brown.
Yeah.
But Marcus Smart is the constant. So I think $12 million, he's set for life, 3 years, 36. I think if they offer him like $9 million, he's not going to be the same Marcus Smart. He's going to feel betrayed by Danny Ainge. And if heaven forbid, he has to play a one, you know, they pay him a one-year deal, He's not going to be diving for balls. Why is he going to jeopardize his whole future?
Peter, I totally disagree with that. If he's on a one-year deal, that means that he's a free agent after that year. If he goes out and dogs it, then he's going to have no market. No one, the Celtics won't be interested in him because he quit on them. Hold on one second. The Celtics wouldn't be interested because he would have quit on them, and then the other teams aren't going to be interested because he's not doing the things that give him NBA value. He has to play for his contract next year no matter what.
Okay, you say he'd quit on the Celtics. I say Danny Ainge quit on him. You know, you play better. He's got a chip on his shoulder. You know, he needs his money. If you give him $36 million, okay, he's set for life, okay? And he's going to bust his balls and be the old Marcus Smart. If you insult this guy who's already thin-skinned, okay, but that's what makes him so great. He's got a chip on his shoulder.
Go ahead.
If he feels he got screwed by Danny Ainge, he's just not going to play as hard.
See, I don't believe it, because if you're saying that's what makes him so great, he has a chip on his shoulder, then wouldn't he have a chip on his shoulder over not getting the offer and play harder?
Yeah, I mean, you could look at it that way as well. Well, overall, I do agree with Peter's point in that how important Marcus Smart is to this team. Case in point, look at those couple of weeks leading up to the All-Star break where, I mean, their defense just went to complete ass. And that's where you realize, wow, they really missed this guy. He comes back, everything kind of gets set again. But the offense is still a factor. You can't if he's going to shoot 30% or around that, and those numbers aren't going to change, and they're not, you can't give that guy $14, $15 million a year. You have to be fiscally responsible, too, even though he matters that much to this team's DNA.
Well, here's the other thing about it, too. Here's just the business part of it, right? So, yes, he does mean a lot to them. And yes, you know, the points Peter brought up were valid. But the Celtics don't have to pay any more for him than they have to pay for him.
Yeah.
So, in other words, if he has a unique, intricate value to them, but other teams look at him and say he doesn't have any of that value to us, then the market is the market. That means that he only has value to one team. And so he doesn't have any leverage in that situation. So they can pay him $9 million or $10 million because there's no interest from other teams driving up the price. No matter how valuable he is to the Celtics, they're in the driver's seat. So that's sort of the way it works from a business standpoint. He has to be able to have that impact translate to other teams and have interest from other teams to have the leverage to negotiate with the Celtics, because otherwise the Celtics look at it and say, well, no one else is interested in you. We really need you, but we're not going to pay you 1 cent more than we have to.
We'll continue to take your calls on Marcus Smart. And how much do we have to worry about Kyrie Irving's interest in joining the New York Knicks at this time next summer? We'll discuss that after the Hub headlines here with the hardest working man in show business, Joe Murray, here on Gasper Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub. This is Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Kyrie's not into winning. Kyrie has a LeBron complex or a savior complex or I gotta get all the credit complex. Out on Kyrie. He's a flake. Kyrie wants to get credit. He doesn't want wins. You don't leave LeBron, who's a guaranteed finals appearance, got you a title, winning. And you don't leave Brad Stevens and the momentum of the Celtics winning to go to the worst run organization in sports. You're not going to make any more money there? Well, the shoe deals, he's got a shoe deal. What are you going to get? Uncle Drew, the movie 2? You already got a movie. Rings, money, shoe deal, movie, winning. You left the best player, now the best organization. Kyrie Irving, you are officially a flake. And I am Mr. Pro Mobility.
And that's just a portion of a long rant that Colin Cowherd had on his show on FS1 going in on Kyrie Irving. It's Gasper Murray, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Anyone that's ever heard Joe Murray, who's joining us today here on the show, listens to him with any regularity. You're often out on things, Joe, it sounds like. Colin Cowherd out on Kyrie Irving. Obviously a bit of a mercurial player here, we know that, but I don't know, like, just after hearing that, do you think that there is any real possibility that Kyrie ends up going to the New York Knicks next summer? It has nothing to do with basketball. It's about him wanting to shine and be on his own and be the guy that resurrects the Knicks.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I'm out on this, too. I'm out on him, and I was reading an article from Jack McMullen back in January about how Kyrie's path from high school. You know, he transferred out of high school and basically moves on. You know, he played 1 year at Duke, got hurt, and basically goes to the NBA. came to Cleveland, wanted out a year early, didn't want to play with LeBron, was another report yesterday. So, you know, I don't think we really know who Kyrie Irving is, guys. Like, I don't know if he's a guy that wants to win championships. Does he want to be the star on the team? Does he want to be a sidecar? Like, what does Kyrie Irving want? And at the same time, like, what makes you think that he wants to stay in Boston full-time? Why not go to the Knicks and try to recruit Kevin Durant or play with Jimmy Butler and Porzingis? So, I don't know. If you guys ask me, I think he's gone. And I think they're shopping him this offseason because I don't think they even know if he's going to stay here full-time.
That part I agree with. I don't think that they know if he's going to stay here full-time. And I wasn't even worried about this 2 days ago, Chris and Joe. I thought, you know what? This is much to do about nothing. If anything, this is a slow time of year. We're making too much out of this because we got nothing to talk about. And there's some rumors here that he may want to go to the New York Knicks from the likes of ESPN's Ian Begley and unnamed GMs, probably Magic Johnson, just trying to throw something out there just to, you know, maybe freak out Danny Ainge a little bit. But like Joe just said, the more you think about it and his track record, and then this story from those that had covered the Cleveland Cavaliers, it was a podcast from a station in Cleveland, talking about how after they won the title, the Cavs, in 2016, Kyrie wanted them to be traded then. He didn't want LeBron back that second time. He wanted it to be about him. So what is it, dude? Like, if it's about winning and culture and a chance at more titles, you don't leave here. I understand from the financial aspect not signing the deal now. That would be irresponsible on his behalf. But what if you really want to go to the Knicks, like, I would lose so much respect for the player. I love him. I love that he's a joy to watch. And I think you can win titles with him here. Hell, you might even win one next year. I think it's the Golden State Warriors and you. You're certainly the Celtics are the clear-cut favorite coming out of the East now that LeBron's in L.A. with the Lakers. But what's it really about? If you want to go to the Knicks, it ain't about winning. It's about something else. But what is that?
Yeah, I don't know. And I think that's the thing. That's where this guy remains a mystery. What motivates him, right? What motivates him professionally? Now, he talked a lot when he came here about expanding horizons and growing as a person and a player and all that stuff. And, you know, I think he can do all that here. I mean, this is his team. You know, the Celtics are his team. Going to New York is sort of what Cowherd said. I mean, do you have some sort of savior complex at that point where you want to be greeted? And look, when he was drafted number one overall by Cleveland, it was sort of like, okay, this guy is the savior now of the post-LeBron era. And that's how he was regarded. And that's, you know, how he was treated. And so does he want that? Is that feeling what he's chasing, searching for? That, you know, the completely hopeless franchise that pins all its hopes on him? Is that what he wants? Is that what motivates him? You don't really know. But if he walks away from two ready-to-win situations, one being Cleveland, the second being the Celtics, you really have to question what his commitment is to winning.
Yeah, it's concerning. I feel like this is actually a legit thing we're going to have to worry about, and we're going to continue to hear about it this whole coming season. I hope it doesn't become a distraction, but I do think it's a real thing that he's going to want to go to the Knicks and be the savior, whatever the hell that is.
Or is it this? Is it this, Jim? Is he simply a guy who, we've talked about this, you know, he is the classic contrarian. He's a different type of guy, which I actually enjoy. I think he's pretty cool, but, you know, the flat earth stuff withstanding.
Right.
But is he just a guy that likes attention and adulation and likes to be, you know, is he like the girl or guy that likes to be chased?
Oh, it is always nice to be wanted. Yeah, maybe it's that. Or maybe, you know, in terms of the other psychology part of it is maybe, and this is what's concerning, maybe if you look at the situation and how it unfolded in Cleveland, he just doesn't like anyone being more popular and getting more shine and recognition than he does.
That's scary.
So that's concerning going forward, especially as a member of the Celtics. If Jason Tatum plays himself, like I think he will, into being a top 10 player in the league even next year, and he starts getting more national recognition than Kyrie, is that a worry? Do we have to worry about Kyrie now going to the Knicks because, oh, he's more popular than me? Yeah. Like, that feels like it's a real thing with this guy.
Yeah, you know what's interesting? I mean, completely different players and body types, but you know who was like that during his career? It was Shaq.
Right.
Shaq couldn't handle it when Penny became a big deal in Orlando.
Yeah, yeah.
Couldn't handle it when Kobe became a big deal, you know, with the Lakers. And even when he went to Miami and Wade suddenly became, he didn't love that either. Now, towards the end of his career, you know, he went to Cleveland. There was the whole, I'm going to get a ring for the king thing. But even that, like, Shaq and LeBron didn't really mesh that well. So Shaq was that guy until the very tail end of his career. He was that guy that couldn't handle being with another superstar, chafed against it at every turn. And so is Kyrie Irving that type of guy?
Maybe. I mean, I feel like you see this more with bands than anything else, but it does happen in sports. Shaq's a great example. Like that fictional band Stillwater in Almost Famous. You know, the guitarist was mad at the handsome lead singer. Like, you're too handsome. Like, it's that. You're more popular than me. You saw it with Guns N' Roses with Slash and Axl. Like, this is what it feels like could happen here with Kyrie, and that's definitely what it felt like happened there in Cleveland with him and LeBron James.
But the thing is, and this is why I asked this question to you before, is it just a LeBron James thing, though? Because, I mean, LeBron James is, like, basically the basketball equivalent of an eclipse. Like, wherever he goes, it's all about him. And
as it should be.
And it's about... But any accomplishments are really... They go on his, you know, legacy. They go on his resume, not really yours. You know what I mean? Even though Kyrie's the one who hit the shot that won that championship. And so, if it's just about LeBron, I'm okay with it. But if it's this constant need to be loved, wanted, pursued, and to also always at all times be the alpha, then I think it's more concerning than that. If it's just about LeBron, I kind of understand.
All right, add this to the conversation. We're opening up here in this first hour talking a lot of NBA offseason stuff. Do you have a growing concern about Kyrie leaving for the New York Knicks? This time next summer. 617-779-0985. We have one open phone line if you'd like to join us, and we'll get to your calls, I promise, right after this here in our long commercial-free segment of Gasper and Murray, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Stay tuned for more Gasper and Murray on 98.5 The Sports Hub.